Hold your Bible up with me, if you will, this morning, and let's say this. Let's get right into the Word of God. I've got an exciting message this morning that the Lord gave me. And let's say this. This is my Bible. The Bible is God's Word. The Bible is God's Word speaking to me. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. My body is awake. My mind is alert. I will receive from the engrafted seed of God's Word. And I will be changed. I will not be the same. I will not leave here the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now tap your neighbor with your Bible, with your King James Version, or your Amplified. Those of you that have Amplified Bibles, you may have to turn them down a little bit this morning so they're not too loud. Amplified Bibles, you may have to turn them down a little bit because it might be too loud. All right, okay. Just make sure you're awake. All right. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. We're going to be talking this morning about using the name of Jesus. Using the name of Jesus. How many of you know that we have the name of Jesus at our disposal today? But there's a difference between just knowing about it and using the name of Jesus. Using the name of Jesus. We're going to talk about spiritual authority. We're talking about using the name of Jesus in prayer. And we're going to look at three portions of Scripture in the Gospels, first of all, in the Gospel writings. And then we're going to look at a Scripture in the Epistles and talking about using the name of Jesus. When I found out the power of using the name of Jesus in prayer against forces of darkness and against the devil, when I found out about the authority that I have in using the name of Jesus, it just changed my life. It changed my walk with the Lord in so many ways. When somebody taught me the things that I'm going to teach you today, it literally changed my life. There's a man that I was so fortunate to be able to study under when I was in Bible school. Kenneth E. Hagin was teaching when I was still going to Bible school. And he did a teaching one time, and he stood up in front of the class that he was teaching, and he said this. He posed this question. He said this: is there spiritual authority that the church has that she's not using today? Unequivocally, yes. And that's the answer. Is there a spiritual authority that the church has over powers of darkness that she is not using? And the answer is yes. Unequivocally, yes. And another question he asked, he said, are we many times as believers, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, allowing things to happen in and around us that we don't have to allow to happen? And the answer is yes, unequivocally yes. Now, what I'm going to share with you this morning, it may tip over some sacred cows. And what I mean by that is some of us have been taught some things that we've been taught through tradition. We've grown up with things, and we've grown up through religious thinking and religious teaching. And quite honestly, a lot of those things that we have been taught are not always true. Did you know that? It's not, you know, we've got to get into the Word ourselves and discover and find out and get revelation knowledge of what the Bible is really saying to us. Myself, I was raised in a denominational church, and I thank God for some of these denominational churches that are doing good things, but I have to say that the things that I learned after I came out of that denominational church and got into the charismatic bunch and the Pentecostal bunch and the Word of Faith bunch, I began to learn so many things that changed my life. I began to get revelation knowledge of the Word of God. And one of the most important things that I learned was the power of the name of Jesus. If you're taking notes this morning, and as I've been doing this a number of years now, I've been pastoring for probably a total of about 11 years right now, because I pastored before in a church up north, and I've been in ministry longer than that. But I've seen a lot of things, and I've dealt with a lot of things and issues in people's lives, and I've realized that there are three big things in people's lives that all the other things kind of encompass around. There are three big areas in our lives that really all of our situations that we deal with either are in these or surround in these areas. And those three areas are salvation of our homes. We all desire the salvation of our homes. Our loved ones, our children, our parents, our brothers, our sisters. Number two, sickness and disease. And I'm talking about the body of Christ. These are things that we deal with. Number two is sickness and disease. And number three is finances. Number three is finances that we deal with. Those are three big things in our lives that we all have challenges with, either in one or all of these areas. And as I've talked to people over the years, either it's in one of these or two of these or all three of these, but usually it's in one of these three areas that people are struggling with or they have a situation with that they are dealing with. And so what I'm going to share with you this morning will literally change your life and the way you think about things if you get a hold of this and begin to do this word that I'm going to teach you this morning. It's so very important. You know, I talked with somebody a while back and they were referring to this portion of scripture that we're going to read in the Gospels. It's the story of Jesus in the boat with his disciples when the storms came up and the storms beat over into the ship. Are you familiar with that story? In Mark chapter 4, when the waves beat up against the ship and Jesus was asleep on the pillow in the back on the hinder part of the ship. And the story goes, and we'll read it here in Mark chapter 4, and starting at verse 35, we'll start here, and it says this in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he, that is Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow." He was on a posturpedic pillow. Asleep. I don't know what kind of pillow it was, but it was comfortable because he was asleep. How many of you know that God's resting? He wants you to rest this morning in a lot of ways. We should rest. We should rest in him today. And it says that he was asleep, and it says that they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose. Can you just see this? Has anyone ever been arisen from a sound sleep before? Somebody wakes you up. You don't just pop up. At least I don't, anyway. My wife can attest to that. I don't just wake up and I'm bright-eyed and, you know, it takes me a while. But you got to realize Jesus was in deep sleep. And it says, he arose and he probably stretched a little bit. And it says, he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." Now notice that with me this morning. Jesus said something to the storm. Jesus spoke to the storm, which was causing them problems, which was causing them fear, which was coming into their ship. And they wake Jesus up, and Jesus woke up, and he said to the storm, which reminds me of when Jesus spoke to the fig tree. You know, Jesus spoke to a lot of inanimate objects. He spoke to things. He spoke to fig trees. He spoke to wind. He spoke to waves. He spoke to things. And he said to the sea, he said, "Peace, be still." And look what happened. Immediately, the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, notice that with me this morning. Jesus got up, and this is not a parable. This is a true story. This really happened. He got up, and he said to the storm, "Peace, be still." And the storm obeyed his word. And it was calm. And then he turned in verse 40 to his disciples and he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly. After he said, "Why are you so fearful?" They feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Isn't that interesting? Look at that with me this morning. They said, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" If you read this in context, in the whole chapter of Mark, chapter 4, you can see that in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, the beginning of it, Jesus was teaching them about the sower and the seed. He was teaching them about faith. He was teaching them about using the word. And then this happened in the boat, and it says, "Why are you so fearful?" Verse 40, "How is it that you have no faith?" Now, I was talking to somebody a while back, and I was trying to help them in a situation that they were in, and they said, "Well, you know," they said, "remember when the disciples were in the boat, and Jesus was with them in the storm, and that applies to us today, because when we're in the storms of life, well, Jesus is with us in the storm." And we've all heard that, right? Amen? Now, I'm telling you, I'm going to tip over some sacred cows this morning. And it's true, he is there with us in the storm. But Jesus got up in the storm, and he spoke to the sea and the wind in order for it to be calm. He didn't allow them to sink. He was with them. But we've got to realize this, that this is before Jesus' resurrection. This is when Jesus was on the earth. Jesus wasn't dwelling in his disciples at this time. He was flesh. He was the Word of God among them, and he was with them in the boat. But how many of you know today that Jesus is in you? Amen. He's been crucified. He's risen. He's seated. The Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, and now we're filled with the anointing. And actually, Christians, you are Christians. We are Christians. That means Christ in us. So Jesus is in us. So keep that in mind, because that's an argument that a lot of people have once in a while. They'll say that. They'll say, well, I'm going through this storm. Well, I just got to endure and go through it. You know, I'm sick and I'm diseased and I'm dying, but Jesus is with me in the storm, in the storms of life. And you know, there's nothing I can do. If Jesus wants to do something, he'll do it. If he wants to do something, have you ever heard that before? Well, if he wants to heal me, he'll heal me. Well, listen, if it's in God's word that he will heal you, then we don't have to ask if it's his will, because his word is his will. See, a lot of us have been taught, especially in this area of healing, we've ended the prayers with, if it be thy will. And actually, that was never meant to go along with the covenant of healing, because God's covenant is healing. It's his will to heal. So we do not have to pray, if it be thy will, on the end of that sentence. The only time Jesus said, if it be thy will, it was his prayer of consecration, when he was in the garden, and he prayed that prayer, if it be thy will. And there are prayers of consecration, don't get me wrong. But when it comes to the area of God's will, you do not have to pray, if it be thy will. You have to accept it and believe it and claim it and thank God for it, that it is his will. Hallelujah! Because it's just as much his will for you to be born again as it is for you to walk in health and be healed. Praise God. So when we know his will, somebody said one time, he said, if faith begins where the will of God is known, and that's true. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So if we know it's God's will, we pray thanking God that it is his will and receiving it, believing it, receiving it. Praise God. And so we know that. Now, go with me over to Luke's Gospel chapter 10. Luke's Gospel chapter 10. And we're talking about using the name of Jesus. I want to teach you something this morning that'll really help you. Luke's Gospel chapter 10. And look with me at verse 19. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Jesus, again, he's telling his disciples, he's talking to his disciples, and he said, behold, I give unto you, what's that next word? Power or authority. That word is translated in the Greek, authority. Behold, I give unto you power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now that word there, power, is, like I said, it translates into the word delegated authority. That word power there is the same word that we use when we look at a police officer that has power in a badge that he's wearing. He stops traffic at a traffic light or an accident by his hand because he's wearing a badge that gives him power, but it's delegated authority. So that man or that police officer who may weigh from range 160 to 200 pounds cannot physically hold back cars that weigh tons and weigh a lot more than him, but he puts up his hand and he says, go around or stop, and people stop because they see the authority on that badge. So he represents not just himself, but all the authority of the state of Florida, all the authority of the powers of the police district that he is behind. And so when he puts up his hand, he's saying, stop in the name of the state of Florida. And so cars have to stop. And people will stop unless, or else they'll get a ticket, or they'll get thrown in the slammer. You know, we've got to obey that because we're obeying that authority, you see. We've got to obey that authority. But the same way is true in the spirit realm. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the devil has to respect that name of Jesus. Whoever says that name of Jesus, he's got to respect that name. He's got to bow the knee to the name of Jesus. See, there's a lot of things that we've allowed as Christians to just go on in our lives, in our families, and go along in our situations. And I'm telling you this morning that we don't have to allow those things. We can use the name of Jesus and use that offensive weapon, the name of Jesus. See, there's a very real spirit realm out there that we've got to understand. That the enemy is out there as a roaring lion, and he tries to usurp his authority over even God's elect, if we'll let them. But, you know, we know, hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Sometimes when I'm preaching, I just get over into that realm of the Spirit. Praise God! And that's where we need to stay. You know, that's where your fight is won, in, over in the Spirit. See, what you see with your natural eyes is not all there is, but there is a spiritual realm that we need to get victory over. And when we get victory in the Spirit, you'll get victory in the natural. See, we got to realize, oh, hallelujah, I love to pray. Some of you that love to pray, you know what I'm talking about. You get into those areas of prayer, and you know, and you realize what's really going on, and you attack that in the Spirit, and you realize that there's spirits of darkness that are trying to blind your loved one's eyes to the gospel and to the Holy Ghost, and you pray against that, and you use the name of Jesus, and tell the devil to get his hands off that situation in Jesus' name, and they've got to obey. Oh, hallelujah. There's just more than this natural realm, you know, that we live in, and we've been translated into the kingdom of God. But I'm telling you what, this message I'm teaching this morning is shudders in the kingdoms of darkness, because the devil does not want the body of Christ to know what the power is in the name of Jesus. But we've got to use the name of Jesus. Oh, praise God. And I will teach this, because I want you to get a hold of it and begin to pray in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's power in that name. Why is there power in that name? Because Jesus is alive. Why is there power in that name? The Bible says that there's the name of Jesus is above every name. Carol, the name of Jesus is above every name. Did you know that names give things authority? Did you know that when you give a name to something, it gives it authority? Give you an example. When you hear the word cancer, it's just a name. But that name cancer carries with it a whole slew of other things. Normally, usually, fear. So you see, that authority that we give to things, it takes on that authority. When you say a name, it conjures up with it authority. But the name of Jesus is above every name. The name of Jesus has more authority than any name. Why? Because Jesus has risen above every name. And he's seated high above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue confess. Is sickness and disease a name? Yes. Is cancer a name? Yes. Is flu a name? Yes. Is virus a name? Yes. Are all those names names? Yes. But is the name of Jesus above those names? Yes. The name of Jesus is above those names. But we have to use the name of Jesus and speak the name of Jesus. We've got to say the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Why? Because when we say in the name of Jesus, it's just like Jesus is saying it. When we say in the name of Jesus, it's just like we are using the name of Jesus on the earth. See, we're here, heirs of promises here, to let the body of Christ realize that we are the body of Christ. We are his body on the earth. We have been crucified with Christ. Living this life as a Christian is yielding to him living on the inside of us, and us getting out of the way and letting him live through us, letting him live big in us, letting him have his way, letting him speak through us, letting him think through us, letting him hear through us, letting him do his perfect will through us. If we will yield, the men and women who have done great things for God have just done this one thing. They have yielded to him. They've yielded to the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And they have yielded to his presence on the inside. And so, we have been given authority to use the name of Jesus. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And I'm going to go over this scripture with you, and then I'm going to share some real practical things and just where the rubber meets the road. Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 18, it says this, Jesus said this, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Look with me back there up in verse 18. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye, everybody say ye. Say this, ye means me. Ye means me. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now let me ask you something. Who is to do the binding? We are. Is Jesus doing the binding of the devil? No. Why? Because Jesus has already bound the devil. Jesus has already gained victory over the devil. See, a lot of, it's unscriptural to say to pray this way, Jesus rebuke the devil. No. Jesus isn't going to rebuke the devil. He wants you to rebuke the devil. I'm saying, I might tip over some sacred cows, but a lot of people pray like that, and it's unscriptural to say, Jesus, rebuke the devil. Jesus has already defeated the devil. Jesus has already stole the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Jesus is raised, seated, and exalted, and he's given the Holy Ghost, and he's living in us today for us to use the name of Jesus and bind the devil and rebuke the devil and tell the devil to get his hands off of our family, get his hands off of our loved ones. Take those blinders off of their eyes. Take that cloud of darkness out of their understanding. In the name of Jesus, this is prayer, you see. This is what I'm talking about. This is the way I pray. My prayers have changed to pray according to the Word of God since I got a hold of this. I have people in my family right now that I'm praying that they'll get the revelation of the Holy Ghost. They're born again. They're going to heaven. They love God. But there's one area where they've just not got a hold of it yet. They don't believe in the Holy Ghost, or they believe in the Holy Ghost, but they don't believe in the filling, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and speaking in tongues. And therefore, they don't believe in divine healing. They don't believe in the divine intervention, which I sometimes I don't understand because, I mean, it doesn't help to get frustrated about it. Sometimes you want to. But you got to do it in prayer. You have to win this battle in prayer. It doesn't do any good to talk to them on the phone, or to write letters, or to write books. It has to be through prayer, doesn't it? It's got to be through prayer. And so I pray. When I think of it, I pray and say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I command you to get your hands off of their eyes, take the blinders off their understanding, and let the gospel and the glorious light of the gospel shine on their hearts. And I claim them for the kingdom of God. I claim that in Jesus' name. See, that's a different way of praying, isn't it? That's a different way of praying. If you have loved ones that aren't saved, if you have people in your lives that you love and you're praying for, we need to begin to pray using the name of Jesus and say, in the name of Jesus, I claim them for the kingdom of God. I say they're born again. There's a man right now that I'm witnessing to that he's going to come into the kingdom. I believe it with all my heart, and I've been planting seeds, but he's got a real bad taste in his mouth about Christians. He's got a real bad taste in his mouth about religion, and I'm trying to get him to see that it's not religion that's going to save him. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And I'm just living the life before him. And I live the life before him. But then I pray in the Spirit. And I pray. And I see in the Spirit. I see those powers of darkness that have a hold of him. We've got to pray against that. We've got to command that in the name of Jesus. We've got to say in the name of Jesus. And so in that realm, and in sickness and disease, and we've had testimonies, a lot of testimonies in this church about people just taking the word that they've heard and applying it to their lives and putting their hand on their bodies if they're getting pain, if something is just bothering them in their bodies, putting their hand on their body and speaking to it in the name of Jesus and claiming healing and saying, I'm healed in the name of Jesus, pain. And we're not against doctors. Don't get me wrong. We're not against medicine. And I tell people, by all means, if you're hurting, go to a doctor. Take medicine. But as well as doing that, use your faith. And put your hand on your part of the body that you're hurting and begin to speak to it, praise God, and begin to call those things to be not as though they were and use the name of Jesus because those roots have to be cursed and that thing will change because Jesus spoke to the wind and the sea and it obeyed him and those things have to obey the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, if you can see it with your physical eyes, it's subject to change. It's subject to change. If you can see it with your eyes, you can say the name of Jesus and it will change. Praise God. Put your hand on that part of your body when you're hurting. Put your hand on that part of your body that's hurting. If there's something, and speak it to it. Speak it to it. If you need to do it in Italian, speak it to it. In the name of Jesus. Woo! Okay. So, Jesus said, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'm a little warm in here myself. Anybody else warm? Just turn the air down a little bit. Your preacher here is getting warm. People are fanning. Praise God. But I believe in the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. And I was supposed to teach this morning and proclaim this. But I'm telling you what, even in the area of finances, here we go. Here's an area that a lot of Christians, they say, well, oh, God doesn't want me to have anything, and I'm just underneath it all the time. But let me give you some good news this morning. Praise God. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. All the gold and silver is His. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. He withholds no good thing from those who love Him. Praise God. God is not broke. God is not stingy. God's not withholding anything from the heirs of promise. As He was with Abraham, so He will be with you. Praise God. God's not against you having things. He just doesn't want things to have you. Amen? God's not against money. He just doesn't want money to have us. So in other words, when God gives you $1 million, if He tells you to give it away, then you give it away. That's when you have the right attitude. But I know people today, they hold on to a dollar. They'll hold on to that dollar till Abraham squeals and screams and cries, you know. And they have just as much covetousness with a dollar. But I know people that are millionaires that just, they're vessels. When it gets to them, it gets through them. If God can get it to them, He'll get it through them. He'll just get it. If God can get it through you, I say that all the time, He'll get it to you. We are vessels, you see. We are just vessels. When millionaires come to Heirs of Promise, and there are millionaires right here. Did you know that? There's millionaires in this church right now. Look at yourself. You're one of them. Praise God. God is going to bless you. God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. Amen? He wants you to have more than enough. He wants you to have promotion on your jobs and increase and witty inventions so that you have more than enough. And the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. And I began to pray this a long time ago. As I plant my seed or my tithe or my offering, along with that, I plant that seed, and then in prayer, I dispatch my angels. Did you know that you can do that? That angels hearken unto the voice of the Word of God? And in prayer, I plant my seed, I plant my offering or my tithe, and then I say, it's in the ground, and now I dispatch angels to go forth and bring that back unto me which I need in the name of Jesus. And I say, Satan, get your hands off of God's money, loose it and let it go. I take authority over any assignment of the enemy that would try to bring lack to me in Jesus' name, because God doesn't want you to have lack. As we said last week, He's the God of more than enough. He's a God of more than enough. And so you dispatch those angels and say, angels, bring back unto me today that which I need. And I say this, my wife and I say this all the time, all of our needs are met, our bills are paid months in advance, we have more than enough. That's a good confession, isn't it? All of our needs are met, our bills are paid, we have more than enough. Heirs of Promise has more than enough. We have more than enough. Our chairs are full. We have more than enough money in this church. We've got more than enough in our building fund. We have more than enough to build that new building that we're going to be in. We have more than enough, praise God. So money, come forth. Come forth. My voice is changing. Come forth, money, in the name of Jesus. It's got to obey the name of Jesus, you see. So let's go back now to the gospel when Jesus was in the boat. Go with me back to Mark chapter 4. And it says here in verse 35, Mark chapter 4, it says, the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Let us pass over unto the other side. See, there's another side that God wants you to pass over to. He wants you to go over to that other side. He doesn't want you to stay in the same place that you're at. He wants you to pass over unto the other side. You know, when I got the revelation knowledge of the name of Jesus, it literally changed my life, as I said, because I spent most of my life just defeated and sick and tired and miserable as a Christian. I didn't want anybody to know that I was a Christian because I was miserable. I wouldn't witness anybody because I didn't want anybody else to be as miserable as I was. But I was miserable. I was born again, I was Spirit-filled, and I was miserable. But when I learned the name of Jesus and began to pray using the name of Jesus, I realized that it's Jesus in us. He's living in us. He's living in us. And so when I say the name of Jesus, it's just like Jesus is saying it. When I say the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, which is above every name. That name of Jesus is above every name. When I say the name Jeff, Jeff hearkens to that name because there's authority in that name, because he knows that name. He has that name. It's been given to him. And over the years, that name is familiar to him. And so when he hears the word Jeff, it has authority, and his ears perk up, and he realizes, that's my name, and he responds to it. But so too, when we use the name of Jesus in the Spirit, all the demonic forces have to hearken, and they stand at attention at that name. Because it was that name 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, who had been given that authority and that name, Jesus Christ is that name. Jesus was crucified, he was buried, and he rose again. And he has risen. He's risen indeed, and he's seated. And he rose far above every name that is named, every single name that is named. Yes, we give things authority by names. There's a story of a tribe in Africa where a reporter went there in the deepest, darkest parts of Africa. And in this little tribe, he noticed as he was there for a few years that, you know, in this country, we have people that stutter. Have you ever heard people that stutter? They stutter. And we use that name stutter in English. We say, well, that person stutters. Well, he noticed in this tribe that there was nobody in their generations that ever stuttered. Nobody ever stuttered at all. They didn't even know what stutter was. And he asked the tribal chief, he said, sir, I realize that none of your people in your tribe have ever stuttered, and none of your children and generations. And the old chief looked at him and he said this. He said, we do not stutter because we have no name for stutter. If you have no name for stutter, how can you stutter? If there's no authority there for a name, how can you have that name? Do you see what I'm saying? See, we have given, and fears of it. We're coming into the hurricane season now. And when people hear the word hurricane, a lot of times, a lot of people, fear rises up. But remember, Jesus said, fear not. When they were going over in the boat, listen, that wind, that storm was coming, but Jesus was asleep on a pillow. But this year, let's do something different. Do what we can do. We were talking about this. Some of the men and I were talking about this. You know how we're preparing, and we need to be vigilant and prudent about preparing and everything, and we need to do our part, the natural plus the supernatural. But also, we can use the name of Jesus and cover our homes. Do what we can do in the natural, but also use the name of Jesus and speak Psalm 91 over our homes and cover it with angels and say, no plague or pestilence will come nigh our dwelling in the name of Jesus. Because I tell you, something happens in the Spirit. We're in the Spirit, praise God. We're born again. We're Christians. We're living in this on this earth, but this isn't all that is, praise God. We're living, oh, hallelujah. That's why I love to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because when I pray in the Holy Ghost, I realize that I'm a spirit. That I am a spirit. I'm living in this body. But I can pray in the Holy Ghost, and I can realize that I'm really a spirit man. I have a soul, and I live in this body. And so when Jesus is on that part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and he got up, they woke him up out of his sleep, and he rebuked the wind, but then he turned to his disciples and he said, why have you so little faith? He was trying to teach them that they needed to get up and rebuke it. They needed to get up and rebuke that storm. Praise God. So there are things that we need to do as Christians today by using the name of Jesus. And if you have a loved one that's not saved, begin to pray that way and claim their salvation in the name of Jesus, because it is God's will for them to be saved. Hallelujah. It's God's will for all these chairs to be full. Oh, ye chair, be full in the name of Jesus. Oh, ye chair, be full of souls. It's God's will for this church to be packed out, full, overflowing, and for us to that we have to get into another building. It'll be needful that we get into another building, praise God, because every seat will be overflowing and full. People will be looking in through the windows. They'll be looking all around, and because we'll, oh, rakastele manara. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we're not playing church any longer? Glory to God. Aren't you glad that we're not in old stuffy denominational churches? Praise God, we're right here in the open. Woo! Glory to God. I'm so tired of the devil raising havoc and putting the blinders over believers. We need to break that thing in the name of Jesus. We got to stand up and use the name of Jesus and tell the devil to get off of our homes, get off of our families, Get off of our finances. Get off of our situations. Get off of our jobs in the name of Jesus and kick them out. Resist the devil. You say, well, is Jesus supposed to resist the devil? No, we're supposed to resist the devil. Is Jesus supposed to lay hands on the sick? No, we're supposed to lay hands on the sick. We're the ones that are supposed to do it. In these home Bible studies that we're in, when people come that are sick, guess what? We're going to lay hands on them. We're going to get them born again. We're going to lay hands on them. When they come in, they're sick, we're going to pray for them, and they're going to leave healed. They're going to leave at least with hands laid on them. They will. They will receive healing. Praise God. So, go with me to Philippians. Oh, I love preaching the gospel. Praise God. I love this message. It's so powerful. We need to, the body of Christ needs to learn this. They need to begin to use the name of Jesus and use that authority that's behind that name. And it's not to lift us up, it's to lift up Jesus. Because you see, it's all in that name. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse number 5, it says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Look at verse 9. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name." Look at that. "Given him a name which is above every name." See, look at that. It's above every name. Look at verse 10. "That," now these next three words are so important. "At the name." What does it say? "At the name." But see, sometimes we read this and we look over it, we go too quickly over it. It says, "at the name." That denotes that somebody has to use the name, right? That at the name. In other words, we've got to use the name. That at the name. At the name. When we use the name of Jesus. And what happens when we use the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Now, when you think about a knee, you particularly think about a man or woman standing. And a knee denotes authority. But when you bow the knee, you are in submission. You see? So anything that has authority, that bows the knee, is in submission to that name. And anything that has authority in our lives that tries to usurp authority over us has to bow the knee to the name of Jesus. And there are things that have been happening in Christians' lives that we've been taught this religious teaching that Jesus is with us in the boat and we just got to get by until Jesus comes and we just got to suffer along with, you know. And you know what? We've got to stop thinking this way, because if we think that way, then the sacrifice of Jesus was for nothing. That he sacrificed and he suffered so that what he bore we need not bear. Did you know that? What he bore, the stripes on his back, the pain. I mean, we watched a National Geographic show last night, a National Geographic show talking about the crucifixion. And they were showing how terrible that form of crucifixion was. And we sat there and we went, my goodness, what he suffered, what Jesus suffered physically, not just even to mention spiritually that he'd been separated from his heavenly Father for the first time in his life, that there had been a separation because the Father couldn't look on sin when Jesus had all of our sin upon himself. But not only the spiritual, but the physical pain that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went through. The piercing, the nails, the thorns in his brow, the sheer agony, the pain. Do we forget about that? And then we say, I'm just suffering. I have to suffer. No, Jesus suffered, praise God, so that you could have victory. So that we could get people born again into the kingdom. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. By his stripes, ye were healed. By His stripes ye were healed. Like I said, we've had healings in this church. We can use the name of Jesus and speak that name. Lay hands on the sick. When we lay hands on the sick, we lay hands on the sick in the authority of the name of Jesus. And whatever it is, it has to bow the knee to the name of Jesus. Whatever it is that has authority in your life, whatever you're going through today, begin to pray using the name of Jesus. That name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. He's seated right now. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. When we get to heaven, we're going to see Him face to face. But right now, we have the Word of God in front of us. And we have the teaching of what we should do to start using the name of Jesus. In the name. We sing that song, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I have the victory. Right? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Demons, they have to flee. And every demon has to flee when they hear the name of Jesus. Because that name has authority. There's authority in the Spirit using the name of Jesus. And the body of Christ, heirs of promise, we must get this and begin to use the weapons of our warfare. Begin to use the name. Begin to use the weapons of our warfare to pull down strongholds of the enemy and rise up and be that mighty army. And get people born again.